everyone.
Hello, and welcome to our message tonight. If anybody has opened this message as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand we are on a live teleconference meeting, so there will be people dialing in from around the country. To give them a chance to get here, we'll start in about 3 to 5 minutes. And any time you podcasters, any time you'd like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconference meeting, they're held every Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. You can also go online to freedomswayministries.com for more information about us and ways to support our ministry. Thank you so much for being here. And if you'd like to say hello, now's a good time to do it.
Hello, this is Helen.
Welcome, my dear.
Good to be here.
Praise the Lord forever.
Amen.
Well, I was at my computer. My computer clock is like 5 minutes slow. Bill says, it's 8:28. I said, oh, you're kidding. How did that happen? Oh, well.
See, I have 8:31 now. What do you have?
I have 8:31. You are correct.
Okay.
Oh. Praise the Lord.
Hello.
We'll give people a minute. Hi, welcome.
Hello. This is Jim and Charlotte.
We are so glad to have you.
And thank you for the call, a reminder. I appreciate that.
Well, you are welcome. I don't call every week because, you know, unless we're starting a new series, that
okay.
is why.
All right. Well,
but, you know, we are in a season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're in a season of deliverance now. So that'll go on for the next few weeks or so.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Yes,
maybe
we love you.
Maybe.
We love you both. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Love you. Bye.
Maybe I'll go back to inviting and sending out those calls every week. We'll have to talk about that. Anybody else want to say hello before I mute your phones?
Hi, Miss Vicki.
Hey, Mitch. Welcome.
Hey, sis. Thank y'all for being there. Hey, Pastor Phil. You doing better?
Hey.
All righty. My beautiful wife. My beautiful wife should be in there any second now, too, then.
Right.
Sounds good to me. Okay. All right. Anybody else before we... mute your phones. For anybody who might be new on the line, I am going to mute your telephone. What that means is you will still be able to hear us, but if you're making noise at your house or wherever you're listening, it will not interfere with the line and everyone will be able to hear clearly. So hang on just a moment and we'll get started. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Welcome. Welcome. We are glad you are here. We are Freedom's Way Ministries. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki. And our mission is to help you come into your true identity in Christ, to be all that you were created to be and have the benefits and all all of the glory that God wants us to carry as his feet, hands and feet on the earth. So welcome. We're glad you're here. As I say, we have a great message tonight. So I'm going to pray us in and get us started. God bless you as you're here. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that this word is anointed, it's powerful, and it does not return void. Signs and wonders follow the preaching of your word, and people are growing, and we appreciate that, Lord. We want to be more like you in all that we say and do. So, God, thank you for this message. Thank you that it is anointed. We honor you with it. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we turn aside any assignment from hell against it that would attempt to blunt it, divert it, or in any way interfere with what God has to speak to his people today. So we thank you that you're here. I mean, Lord, we thank you for your word, and we give you honor and glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And we are glad the Lord's here. Praise God. Thank you, honey. This is actually the fourth week of our season of deliverance. And so far, we have talked about opening doors. What are the door points in our lives? We had some deliverance from accusation, rejection, and tonight's topic is bitterness. And if you have missed any of those, they are on our website. Thank you so much to our webmaster. And that's Freedoms with an S, Way Ministries is plural.com. And they are by date under audio teachings. So let's get to it. Bitterness toward God, toward yourself, or toward others is the number one block to healing. Whether we're talking physical healing, emotional healing, no matter what. Hebrews 12:14-15 says this. It's an admonishment to the church. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Ooh, thank you for your word, Lord. When you break that verse down, this is what it says. If you have a root of bitterness, it will spring up and trouble you. You will lose your peace. Being troubled, you can be defiled. And being defiled, you cannot be holy. Without holiness, you can't see the Lord. That means you're not going to understand. You're going to have a hard time with relationship with the Father. I don't want to be there. So I want to be aware of the root of bitterness so that I can pluck it up and get it out of my life, and so that I won't be planting another seed of bitterness that can spring up later.
Amen. In the book of Luke are verses that explain demonic hierarchy, so to speak. Luke 11:20-23 states the following, but if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divides his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. Then in verses 24-26, Jesus continues. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he comes, he finds it swept and garnished. Then he goes and takes to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. In these verses, when Jesus is speaking of stripping the armor from the strong man, he is talking about seven other spirits, and likely they are more wicked than the strong man. This is a picture of our hearts and the spiritual defilement that has taken place.
Oh, help us, Jesus. So bitterness has its hold because of its armor, because of its bodyguards. It's like the mafia godfather. The boss surrounds himself with these wicked men who are bigger and tougher and stronger than he is, but probably not as smart. So the first spirit guarding bitterness is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness comes when someone wrongs you or wrongs someone that you love. In John chapter 20, this is describing the first day of Jesus' resurrection. And the very first thing that he taught, which I have to believe has a lot of primary importance, the first thing he taught after his resurrection is that we should forgive and how to forgive. He explained how this unclean spirit affects us in such a way, he explained it in such a way that it makes us easy. It makes it easy for us to forgive others for the offenses that they bring against us. So we're going to take a look at these verses because I am going to do my best, Phil and I here tonight, we're going to do our best to free you from warped thinking about forgiveness and how difficult it is, because it isn't. John 20, verse 21 to 23. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I just want to put a little aside in here. Where did the Father send Jesus? He sent him to the cross to die. We are to die to ourselves. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Another little aside here. That, I believe, is their born-again experience. They saw Jesus in his resurrection. They saw the resurrected Christ and received that infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus goes on and he says, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Might as well say, unto you.
Mm. Ouch. Remit means send away. It is the same Greek word that is translated as forgiveness, remission, deliverance, liberty or freedom in other scriptures. And here's an example. If you receive an invoice for a loan repayment, chances are it will say remit payment to such and such a company or an individual. When you pay the bill, you're sending back to the sender the thing they gave you.
Wow.
This is a great revelation. Remitting other sins through forgiveness doesn't free the person, it frees you. This action actually puts the other guy on the hook with God, who is now free to deal with that person, and you are back in fellowship with the Lord. Now think about the principles of binding and loosing in Matthew. These refer to forgiveness. And that's in Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In unforgiveness, you are holding someone's sin, and you are bound to it on earth. And your Father in heaven is bound from meeting you. Now remember, Jesus said you cannot be forgiven by the Father.
If you're in
unforgiveness. And he's bound. He's bound from convicting and dealing with the one who offended you. Now that's important, so I don't want to rush past it. Jesus said, you cannot be forgiven by the Father if you don't forgive your brother. And he is bound from convicting and dealing with the one who offended you. And that's, we want to allow the Lord to move on the subject. It's get ourselves out of the way when you forgive. When you loose the person by remitting the sin through forgiveness, then heaven is loose to help you. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's a pretty good reason to forgive somebody. Forgiveness doesn't release the one who wronged you from responsibility, but it frees you instead. It actually puts the responsibility for that sin back on the person who committed that sin against you. You'll also find it easier to forgive other people when they wrong you by recognizing it isn't even the person, it's the sin in them that is manifesting through them. It's that spirit. It is not the person. If you're not quick to forgive, then unforgiveness builds a foundation for another wicked spirit to stand on, and that spirit is resentment. Ooh, this is a big one. Resentment stands on unforgiveness. It exhibits a feeling of ill will. It says things like, I don't like that guy. I will never forgive him for what he did to me. Resentment keeps that feeling of ill will in place. Now, let's look at this. Why is resentment wrong? It's wrong because it keeps a record of wrongs. So it invites a record keeper spirit in to work in your mind. And this is a spirit that will make you truly miserable. It says things like, well, he says he's sorry, but he doesn't really mean it. He's just going to do it again. Remember the last time and the time 10 years ago? The record keeper, which is resentment, is a spirit that does not allow the wound of the past to heal. It keeps bringing that memory back and making the pain of it feel new again. It's like scratching at a scab. Your mother told you, keep your hands off that. Don't pick at that scab. This is a spirit that maybe above all others destroys marriages. It's going to bring things into your mind from years ago, things that you thought were long since resolved, and it makes that pain feel new again. And not just marriages, but relationships of any kind, particularly, I would say, in families.
Amen. Next in the progression of bodyguards for bitterness is the spirit of retaliation. And it speaks like this. It's time to get even. He should pay for what he did. I'm going to make him pay for what he did. I'm going to get even with him. We've all heard the statement, don't get mad, get even.
Yeah, that is the enemy's way of trapping you in growing bitterness in the garden of your heart. Is it ever okay to retaliate against someone who has wronged you? Well, in a national sense, perhaps, but never in a personal sense. Nations go to war against nations. Christians should never go to war against anything other than the power of darkness. Why? It's not our job. It isn't our battle.
I know. And we're not very good at fighting it either.
That's true. Romans 12 and 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather not give place unto wrath." Right? For it is written,
it says, give place unto it, which means let go.
All right. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So when someone wrongs us, there's no need for us to do anything other than turn the matter over to God. Remember, as long as you're holding on to it, he won't touch it. That Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He allows us our will. Give place unto wrath means let it go. Step aside and do not participate with it or entertain it in your heart, in your mind, in your mouth, or in your circumstance.
Amen. Hallelujah. So far, we have unforgiveness, resentment, and retaliation. Now, none of these sins is particularly evident outwardly. We can live in unforgiveness and no one has to know. We can have a ton of resentment and keep it hidden. We can harbor evil thoughts of getting back at someone and no one can read our minds. We all know how to play nice, how to hide our true feelings about someone or something, at least when we're in the presence of that person. And most Christians, because we know it's expected of us to be pleasant, we'll go to church entirely broken, but we'll put on this Christian face that's a mask of outward happiness. You know, instead of dealing with unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, we hide it. Now, I will tell you, if that is you, then you've probably got arthritis, or osteoporosis, you may have, a compromised immune system, you may be sick all the time, because that spirit is going to turn inward and destroy you. But other people won't know. Unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, they're not outwardly evident. But the next spirits guarding bitterness are evident to everyone around us.
Amen. So it's actually in our best interest not to carry these things. I know that's like a saying that, has been said over and over, but, it hurts us. It doesn't hurt them. Many people that have offended you don't even realize they have, and they're not giving you a second thought about it. So if you're carrying it, you're the only one. And if you release it, God can deal with the offender. Hallelujah. You don't even have to have the gift of discernment to tell if a person has a spirit of anger and wrath.
Yeah, that's the next thing.
Anger is an outward expression that cannot be hidden. You can bet that if a person is angry, you'll know it. Is all anger bad, or is all anger an evil spirit? The answer is no. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." The next verse tells you why. "Neither give place to the devil." Give place there means to let him in. It's a different meaning than the give place in Romans 12:19. How can you be angry and sin not? First of all, examine what is making you feel angry. Then get mad at the devil, not the person. It's okay to get mad at the devil. That's righteous indignation. But when you direct your anger at yourself or at another of God's children, you sin. Never harm anyone with your anger. Stay current. Repent quickly. Keep your accounts short with God for allowing the anger to rise up against another person. Keep short accounts with God. Don't let it build. Anger that doesn't subside, that lingers and eats at you, is a spirit. It is a sin. The spirit of anger is very controlling, and it becomes evident that the one who angers you controls you.
That'll stop people.
Do we really want to be controlled by that guy who can't drive? Wow.
That would put an end to road rage, right? So next in the progression of bitterness is a spirit of hatred. Hatred leads toward total elimination of the person who offended you. Hatred says things like, he doesn't deserve to live. He doesn't deserve to be on the planet. I despise him. I hold him in great contempt. Strife is the root of hatred, and hatred is the fruit of strife. We'll say that again. Strife is the root of hatred, and hatred is the fruit of strife. They're like evil twins. And the Bible tells us that strife opens the door for all sorts of evil. That's in James 3:16, where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Oof. Proverbs 10:12 says this, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins.
Amen. The word covers there means hides.
It does mean.
Thank you. The word covers there doesn't mean hides. It means plumps or fills up against. In other words, love plumps. To fill the space and literally pushes out the sin. A good example would be filling in a hole in your yard. When you shovel the soil into the hole, it fills the hole. When you receive God's love, rejection has to go. There is no room for it because love has taken up its space. Hallelujah. When you receive God's love, hatred has to go the same way. Love takes up its space and pushes it out. What does the Word of God say in 1 John 4:18? Perfect love casts out fear. This is the covering that plumps the banner over us, the victory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Love conquers. Next up in the progression of spirits, the armor that holds bitterness in place is a spirit of violence. Violence is anger and hatred in motion. It can take the form of striking, throwing things, screaming, physical, sexual, emotional, mental abuse, all abuse, verbal, emotional, sexual, physical, any kind of abuse is violence. Now, it's easy for us to recognize when we're the victim of violence. But you also need to recognize when you have perpetrated these things toward others. Many times, people, maybe perhaps most of the time, people, even Christian people, don't recognize when we are practicing the role of the abuser. We feel justified in that. And the conclusion of bitterness is murder. Now, this can be actual physical murder. It can be murder in the heart or murder in the mind. When you just wish the person was dead,
Or maybe you're imagining ways to kill him if you thought you could get away with it. Or maybe you envision what you think would be a fortunate accident. It can also be murder with the tongue. That's when you curse the person, when you defame their character assassination through gossip or slander, or even innuendo. It's perverseness in the tongue, where you're saying things that are designed in the spirit realm to subvert and overthrow that person. Now, murder is a deadly spirit, no pun intended there. It's ruled by a spirit of death.
So how do we handle a serious offense from a brother in Christ? Matthew 18, 15 through 17 gives us three steps. And it states the following, Matthew 18, 15 through 17. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen man and a publican. First, we go to the person one-on-one and confront the problem in a sincere attempt to bring reconciliation and mend the breach. If that doesn't work and your brother won't respond, then you take another person with you and try again. And if he still will not respond, the matter should come before the church. Matthew 18, 21 through 22 says, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
That's a groaner, right? So how many times are we to forgive? 70 times seven. Now, in Scripture, seven is the number of spiritual perfection. So, well, let's just look at the others. 10 is number for obedience or the law. So if you have spiritual perfection times obedience to come up with 490, that would be complete and total perfection, total obedience. We are to forgive every minute, every moment, every hour of every day. It's important to know that your repentance is between you and God. You should only repent to a person when you know that you can do that without harm to that person or to yourself. For example, it would not be wisdom to go to a parent and say, I forgive you, Mom, for being such a lousy mother. You know, that's not wisdom. It can only bring further harm to the relationship. First of all, your mom may not realize she didn't meet your needs as a child. And second, it would cause pain in her heart, probably even making her feel devalued and worthless, which really, that might be the motivation you would do that. And that comes from retaliation. I just want them to feel bad for a while. Oh, help us, Jesus. Yes, he does twist the word. And there was something else I wanted to say here. Oh, yeah. If you're counting the number of times you forgive somebody and you get up to 490, you never forgave them in the first place.
That's right. Forgiveness is an attitude of the heart. It is not an emotion. It's not something you feel like doing. It is a decision. We forgive in order to be forgiven. We forgive to be obedient. We forgive out of the love for God, and we forgive to be more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the teaching. Any and all reasons not to forgive are invalid. And so we're going to remind you of a few common ones. And Lord, give your people grace. And here's the first one. It's too great an offense.
That's right. You just don't know what he did to me. You wouldn't feel like, you wouldn't tell me to forgive if you knew how bad it was.
Yeah, amen. I haven't received an apology.
Yeah, I'm going to wait till he apologizes, then I'll forgive him.
If I forgive, they'll just do it again.
Guess what? They're going to do it again anyway.
Wow.
Until God convicts them, they're going to continue that behavior. And he can't convict them until you let them go.
I want them to know that they hurt me.
Yeah, that is a form of retaliation. It's kind of like, I've heard people say, well, I'm going to forgive them, but I want them to suffer a little first.
Mm. Wow. They'll get off scot-free, and that's not fair.
And guess what? They're already scot-free. Just like Phil said a while ago, they're not thinking of you. You're the one that's bound.
Wow. Ooh, help us, Lord.
And, you know, it's important that we forgive God. We don't really I don't think most of us are conscious, but many times we blame God. When things go horribly wrong in our lives, instead of looking at the source of the problem, and instead of discovering and analyzing the open door that invited it, we blame God for letting this horrible thing happen to us. You know, what did Adam say? It was that woman that you gave me. In one breath, he accused both Eve and God. Accusing spirits love it when we accuse God.
That's right. And it's important that you forgive yourself.
Ooh, amen.
Bitterness toward yourself can lead to guilt, self-rejection, self-hatred, self-violence, and even suicide. Physically, bitterness will lead to many autoimmune diseases. All those incurable things where the body turns on itself and begins to destroy itself, such as cancer, muscular dystrophy, neuropathies, crippling arthritis, diabetes, and so on and on. There is almost always a root of bitterness involved. So first know this, there are no incurable diseases.
That's the good news.
When you say something is incurable, you're calling God a liar. You're saying he's not big enough to handle your problem. You also need to know this. The God you perceive is the God you will experience.
Ooh, say that again.
The God you perceive is the God you will experience. It's your perception. It's huge. This is where faith is. Where is your faith? Are you using your faith or God's faith? Jesus said, have faith in God, but literally that translates, have God's faith.
That's right.
Bitterness toward others can hang around even if you've forgiven them. Even if you've forgiven the person who hurt you, you need to repent for the initial unforgiveness and release the person. You will be blessed. Rejection fuels bitterness. So we're going to get rid of bitterness so that you don't fall back into the mess. Hallelujah. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Hallelujah.
I just want to also make this comment about Jesus saying, have God's faith. He would not have told us to do that if it weren't possible. So don't be trying to muster up your own faith. Use his. It's already in there by his Holy Spirit. So I'm going to, if you want to get rid of any of these armor bearer spirits or the stronghold of bitterness in your life, any pattern of bitterness, all of that stuff, we're going to address that now. I'm going to ask that you pray this prayer with me out loud if you want to experience that freedom. And then I am going to ask you to maintain it by remembering what we said here, by filling your house up with love of God, love for your fellow man, and love for yourself. Fill your heart with worship and praise and the Word of God so that those spirits don't have a place to return. Amen.
Amen.
So pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I choose to forgive my ancestors and any other persons who may have opened the door for spirits of bitterness to attach themselves to me or to take up residence with me. I forgive them and I release them from responsibility for any curses of bitterness and unforgiveness that may have attached themselves to me. I want you to see the picture. I want you to see, and you don't have to repeat this, I want you to see the face of that person or the persons or, you know, the company. The bill you got in the mail that you didn't owe, whatever it is that has caused you bitterness, I want you to see that. And let it go now, just in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. Release that. You have released them from responsibility for that curse of bitterness. Now you can continue.
I take responsibility
for those curses. And I give them to the Lord Jesus Christ because he is my curse bearer. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I break all agreement with unforgiveness and self-unforgiveness, resentment and self-resentment, retaliation and self-retaliation. I break all agreement in the name of Jesus with anger and wrath and self-anger. I break agreement with hatred and self-hatred.
Violence, self-violence.
Murder and self-murder. Murder in the heart. Murder in the mind. Murder with the tongue. Gossip. I break all agreement now with blame shifting.
Frustration and irritation.
And I ask you, Father, to break the programming of bitterness. I do not want these things in my life. Forgive me for entertaining them. I break agreement with envy and jealousy.
Fear.
rebellion, bitterness toward you, God. I ask that you dig up and rout out any bitter root judgments. That I've made against myself or any other person. I break all agreement with self-pity, victimization, bondage, rejection and self-rejection. The recorder, all spirits of hostility. I break agreement with accusation and self-accusation. Strife. The thief. The destroyer. Every spirit of death. Every spirit and spirit guide of suicide. Forgive me, Lord, for entertaining these in any way. I break agreement with self-annihilation, contention, pride, guilt and shame, regret, condemnation. I break all agreement with doubt and unbelief. And I utterly break the curse of unbelieving ancestors.
Break the curse of unbelieving ancestors.
I break agreement now with false security.
Break agreement now with false security.
Uncertainty.
Uncertain.
Insecurity.
Insecurity.
Fornication. Adultery. Spiritual idolatry. All cursing and perversity. Incest. Homosexuality. Pornography. Any character assassination whatsoever. Toward myself or others. I break agreement with ungodly expectation. On myself and others, and every spirit of abuse. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse. Oh Lord, I am so sorry that I have entertained these things.
Lord, I'm so sorry that I have entertained these things.
I've been both a victim and a student. I receive your forgiveness. And I forgive myself. I ask you, Father God, to tear down any stronghold of bitterness in my life. I break agreement with any spirit guide of bitterness. Generational or present. And I declare that the blood of Jesus Christ is all powerful and effective to free me now. In Jesus' name. Whew, hallelujah, amen. And now, yeah, take a breath, because anything that's still hanging around is about to go. For anyone who has not experienced a deliverance ministry prayer like this, you may have some kind of manifestation. You might cough. You might cough or sneeze or cry. You might yawn. Yawning is a big thing. Your nose might twitch. Your stomach might hurt. You may feel something moving around or you might get a little a band around your head or sensation in your chest or in your throat, that's okay. The reason that that spirit is doing that is because it wants to put you in fear or distract you. So in the name of Jesus, I shut down all fear of evil right now and fear of manifestation. I cut you off completely. I bind up fear. I say step aside because God is coming through. No distraction. Spirit of distraction, get up, get out, and go. You are bound. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I speak now to every armor-bearer spirit of bitterness, unforgiveness, self-unforgiveness, resentment, self-resentment, retaliation, self-retaliation. Get up, get out, and go. I cancel your assignment, I cancel your cell memories, and I cast you out from every cell in their body now. Loose them and let them go. I cast out every spirit and spirit guide, generational and present, of anger and wrath, self-anger, hatred, self-hatred, violence, self-violence, murder and self-murder. Get up, get out, and go. Murder in the heart, murder in the tongue, murder in the mind. Loose them now. I take the sword of the Spirit of God and I sever those generational cords of iniquity and every evil soul tie that has held any of these things that we have named in place. I cut through those completely. I cut through the soul ties of ex-spouses, ex-girlfriends, rebellious children and the words they've spoken to you, over you, about you. And I pull down the word curses that were spoken over you throughout your life. I strip you of those labels in the name of Jesus that set you up for programming of bitterness. I take them off now. I send back in the spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you, and I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. I break the programming of bitterness completely, and I reprogram you to love and forgiveness. The love walk of the living God, the expression of love that you were created to be. In the name of Jesus, I cast out all gossip, all character assassination, every spirit or spirit guide of blame shifting, frustration, irritation, envy, and jealousy. I dig out and uproot every bitter root judgment that you have made toward yourself or toward others. In the name of Jesus, I cancel the assignments of that. I declare they will die and bear no fruit in your life. Thank you, God, or in the lives of anyone else. I speak to every spirit of fear, rebellion, any bitterness toward God, all self-pity, all victimization, and every spirit of bondage. Loose God's people. They have broken agreement with you. You cannot stay. I cast you out. I cast out rejection, self-rejection, the recorder, hostility, accusation, self-accusation. I speak to the strife. I speak to that spirit of strife. I speak to the thief, destroyer, spirit of death, suicide, all of you. Come up and out from every cell in their bodies right now. Take your nasty diseases with you. In the name of Jesus, get out. I send you into the consuming fire of the living God. I cast out every spirit and spirit guide of self-annihilation, contention and pride, guilt, shame, regret, condemnation. I cast you out. I cast out every spirit and spirit guide of doubt and unbelief. Get out in Jesus' name. Go. False security, uncertainty, insecurity, fornication and adultery. Go now in the name of Jesus. All spiritual idolatry, I break your power. And I cast you out. I cast out every spirit of cursing, perversity, incest, homosexuality, pornography. You don't have a place here. Get up, get out, and go in the name of Jesus. And all guilt, shame, and condemnation attached to you, go in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to that nest of vipers in your belly. I cut your heads off. I take your authority. Go. I cast out every spirit and spirit guide of ungodly expectation of yourself or other people, and every spirit of abuse, physical abuse, I break your power. Sexual abuse, I break your power. Verbal, mental, emotional abuse, I break your power now, and I cast all of you into the pit. In the name of Jesus, I break any traumas from abuse over your lifetime. I break those traumas, and I speak to any spirit of fear attached, and I cast you out. Everything I have named, Father God, I send it to the pit that burning coals fall on it according to your word and your truth, and they cannot rise again. Lord, I ask for your angels of burning, judgment, destruction, to tear down the strongholds, the fortresses, and the altars that have been built to bitterness in your people's lives. Tear them down stone by stone. Crush those stones under the feet of Jesus Christ. To be washed away as you flood us now, Lord God. The King, King Jesus, sits on the flood. Wash through us with your living water, Lord. Cleanse those places as your angels are herding up any hangers-on and sending them into your consuming fire. Fill us up, Lord, with your love that plumps us so there's no room for any of this to come back. Fill us up, Lord God, with that absolute assurance. I break any cell memories of anything that we have named here tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that you replace the neuron pathways to the cellular structure and fill us with your purity and with your power. In the mighty, majestic, and matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Praise you forever. Praise you forever. And I declare you all free. I decree it in the heavens. You are free of bitterness. Whew. In the name of Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Woo.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
See.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Love my job. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you have any questions, please push your star 6 keys. Praise the Lord. Got anything? briefly
hey,
to say, hey,
Sunette.
So glad
yeah,
to have you
awesome.
Here. You're sounding
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it's just. Yeah, I'm up and running at least a full half a day.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Gaining on. But,
Amen.
Yeah, we had went through this with me and you. You know, we've done this, you know, personally with ourselves, and it was the most freeing thing. I mean, it really was. It just, you know, when you're still facing it, you know what I'm saying, especially when you're ongoingly facing.
We do need a little refresher every now and then. That's great.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then with the individual, especially when you're ongoing facing the same individual, you know, yeah. And then, but that did, like I said, that's, it's a good thing to do, a good thing to really take in and take it seriously. I can tell you that because it was a light lifted, you know, weight off of me big time. So.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I appreciate that.
Hallelujah.
And the renewal, just to make sure I ain't got nothing else in there.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Annette.
All right. Love
Amen.
Y'all.
Love you too, dear.
Vicki?
Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am.
Near the end, you made a state. Oh, is someone else on? I don't know.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Near the end, you made a statement that I thought was really good, and it was, God replaced the nuclear, and I couldn't get it all. I was yawning so much. Do you recall?
Cellular memory. Cell memories. Oh, the neuron pathways. That's what you're talking about. Yeah.
Pardon me?
Yeah. We have neuron pathways from our brain to our cellular level.
Right. Right. That's why I wanted to know what you
yeah.
said.
yeah,
okay, so God replaced the cell memory.
And the neuron pathway be renewed, rebuilt to his word and
uh-huh.
his truth and not what bitterness has created
uh-huh.
in us.
Right. Okay. No, I think that's really important. I forget what her name is. It's just the one that wrote the switch yeah. on. Switch on your brain or something. She goes into great detail
yeah.
about,
yeah.
You know, the cells and everything.
I think that's,
and I find it
yeah.
very helpful. Okay, thank
Dr.
you very
Carolyn
much. This
Lee.
Was terrific. Yes, yes.
Amen.
I always forget her name. Okay, thank you very
Dr.
much. Both of you.
Yeah. I think her name is Dr. Carolyn Leaf.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's her. I have her book here somewhere,
okay.
but I thought it was very interesting. Okay. All right. Thank you again, both of you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Helen. Anybody else before Pastor Phil blesses us?
Thank you.
Hello.
We had an awesome deliverance.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Charlotte.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Phil over there, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I heard somebody else.
God bless you.
It was me. Wow, it just gets better and better. I keep thinking I don't have any of this left, but boy, did I ever. Thank you. Oh, wow.
God bless you, Claudia.
So blessed. Oh, my goodness. It was beautiful. It was so good to hear Annette. She sounds wonderful.
Yes, she does.
And thank you, Annette. Thank you, Lord, for her healing.
Amen. Okay, if you all would mute your phones. Pastor Phil's going to
bless Wait. Thank you. Thank you. I'm dealing with a lot of bitterness in the street right now, too, but thank you for the prayers. Appreciate it, taking that stuff away from me.
God bless you, Mitch.
God bless you, brother. Yes, thank you for my miracle wife. She's back. My miracle girl. But thank you, God, for all the prayers.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. Thank you for the work it is doing and will continue to do in your people. Lord, I ask you to seal this in our hearts so that we can walk in this day by day with one purpose, to glorify you. Lord, we know that when we walk in your ways, we glorify you, and that your goal is to glorify us. So we thank you for that. This is too awesome to know, Lord. So we give you honor. We give you glory tonight. I ask you to seal the word in your people's heart. Bless the comings and goings. And thank you, Lord. And I will bless them as well with the Aaronic benediction from Numbers, the 6th chapter, in Hebrew and in English. It goes like this. Yivarechach Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha yifunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is the Sar Shalom. He is the Prince of Peace. And we honor him tonight. And we want more of you, Jesus, and less of us. So we thank you for being in our lives. We thank you that you're speaking to our hearts. And that we're growing in you as you free us to be more like you. So we honor you tonight, Father. We give you honor. We give you glory. We bow our knee in the name of Jesus to the risen Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We will be here in the morning at 7:15 on this line. And again, this message and this deliverance will be repeated Friday night at 8:30. God bless you all. We love you.
We love you too, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. God bless.
Thank you, dear.
Good night.